Roger. Lee Morrill, Senior.
M-O-R-L.
Senior.
Morrill.
Yeah, Morrill, yeah. I was born in Reisterstown, Maryland. November 11th, 1950. Yeah, 11th month, 29th day, 1950. And my daddy's name is Melvin Dale Morrill. He was born 1 ago. My mother is Lucille Harrison from Petersburg. And I've got 2 sisters and 2 brothers. My oldest sister's name is Sarah Lee Conaway. And my youngest sister's name is Delpha Ann Morrill. And I got a brother named Melvin Dale Morrill. And I got a little brother named Dookie. He's, well, I guess he's about 15 years old. And I left them back in 1953, come up here and stay with my aunt and uncle. They took care of me, raised me up. Stayed here for 19 years with the community of the people, awful nice. Then I went to Maryland. I worked down there for 6 years and got married in 1977 to Deborah Lynn Steinberg. We lived down there till 1980, and we moved back here to take care of my aunt Mabel Hedrick, which she's 72 years old. And then we had 2 children. Their names is Roger Lee Morrill Jr. and Tabitha Jane Morrill. You want to stop that thing now?
Yes. Can you tell me about your children?
Yeah, I got 2 children. One's name is Roger Lee Morrill Jr. He's 3 years old. And I got a daughter named Tabitha Jane Morrill. She's 4.
And you live?
I live up the road here about a half a mile on Priscilla Tears farm. I help her here out because she had a broken leg. We've been good friends all of her life.
Lucky to have a man like
that. Yeah, boy, she's just like a mother to me. So, and on November the 4th, it was raining. I came down. Water's running across the road out here, so I was up there trying to get the water straightened out so it would go through the culvert. We called down about her sister and her brother-in-law and wanted to know if they wanted to come out. I guess it was around noon. We called down. They said no, they wouldn't. They was going to wait a while because Aunt Pearl was catching water. It was dripping down to the ceiling of her trailer. And so
your trailer was where?
Down the fork, down Seneca, going towards Petersburg down there. Down there where Vance's server station was. So we called and they didn't want to come, so we waited a while, and I was back up there above the road cleaning out. After a while, they called back and said they didn't know if I could come in and get them or not. So Priscilla, she ran out and told me, she said, go down and see if you can get them. So I left here flying. Down the road I went. Cut down there to Seneca, and the water was running across the road, and I asked this man, I said, do you think I can make it across? He says, oh, yes, you can make it. So on down to where I went. I got down where I could see their trail, and I could see the water coming in this way and going down around behind them. So I cut up in the neighbor's driveway and went out through the field there. Went across. When I went across, the water was clear over top of my tires of the truck. So I went down around the back, and the water, it was still way deep in there. So I pulled right up behind Aunt Pearl's trailer. And I jumped out, and the water was up to my waist almost. And I went to her door, and I says, come on. And she opened the door, and I just reached and grabbed her in my arms and brought her out and set her in the truck. She didn't get a bit wet. But that time, Catherine John was coming out. And Catherine, she got in the front seat with me and Aunt Pearl, and John got on the bumper. So I backed out and started out the driveway, and I got out within 25 feet of the road. And the water just came in so fast, it just drowned my truck out. So there I was, we stuck. I didn't open the door, so I crawled out the window and crawled around the back, went around the lower side and opened the lower side door, and got Catherine out and helped her back to John, and they got back to the house, so I carried Aunt Pearl back to the house myself on my arms. Never got her wet. And we all went in there, and you give me some clothes, give me a pair of pants and a pair of shoes, and a blouse. A shirt, and I put it on. We all stood there, and the water just kept raising and raising. We could look out the window, and the trailer set right straight across from us over there, and after a while, we seen it flop over. Down the other side of the road it went. After a while, you could see, when you looked out, and there's the truck was sitting there, and after a while, the truck just flopped over. The water just upset it. Upset right in front of the trailer. We still watched it there a little while. Water come on. It got up on the porch then. After a while, it rolled it over again. Rolled it with the wheels sticking straight up. And it was starting to get dark then. Looked out where John's car was sitting in the garage, you know. It was kind of in a break. Like this car sit like this. And I said, John, I said, your car's going sideways. Oh, no, it ain't going sideways. I said, yes, it is, too. So he weighed the water over and looked out, and the car was going like this in the garage. The water, you know, just were forced in like that. He was just forcing the car backwards and forwards, just like this. So we sat there a while, and the water kept getting deeper, so we got the dinner table out of the kitchen, brought it in the living room. Right where it had an owl like this. There's a little cabinet set over here, and the sink went here, so we had the table sitting there, so we all got up on the table. We stood there a while. Water kept getting deeper and deeper. After a while, it got on top of the table. So we got the chair started floating over to me, so I reached down and got a chair, and I set it up on the table, so the older woman, she sat down on it, Mrs. Lewis. And Catherine, she stood up there on the table, and John, he did too. And I stood over on that little counter. We thought maybe, you know, it might not get any higher. Well, water just kept raising. After a while, it got up to where the doorknob is on the trailer, where you open the knob of the trailer. By that time, it was taking, upsetting fuel tanks and taking the gas tanks off of the trailer and taking them down the river too. So we sat there a while, and after a while, I said, John, I'm going to cut a hole through the roof. He said, no, don't cut a hole through the roof. He said, wait a while. I sat there a while longer. So after a while, I said, John, I'm going to cut my hole through. Well, he said, go ahead. So I cut a hole up through with my pocket knife. I couldn't get up. There was a flat board in there, about 4 inches wide and about that thick. So I couldn't get it up through there, so I moved over just a little ways and cut another hole. And by that time, it started cracking, sides. You could hear the sides, just seemed like they was in and out. I got the hole cut up to it, and it, just as I got the hole cut in, it really cracked. I took my head up too, just before that. I looked down, and I said, you all know we're gonna die. And I stuck my head up too, and just pulled myself up, and I could feel the trailer going. I wasn't quite up on it yet. But I got up on top of it, and as it went down the creek, oh, it went 500 yards. Went down the creek there, and it hit a bunch of trees. Well, I had done torting too. It was just part of it there. It lodged in against there. And just before it hit, I seen this limb, and I grabbed a hold of it, and I got up. And just as I got up, another building come in, right there against the trailer, and hit that tree I was on. Hit me in the leg, just about knocked me out. I still had my flashlight, though. And I thought I heard somebody holler. So I shined my flashlight down there where the piece of the trailer was. I shined back a little bit, and there's a black hose sticking out there. And there was Catherine hanging on. She'd rode inside of that thing that fur till it hit. She was hanging on that black hose, and I hollered. I said, come on, Catherine. I said, you can get up on top of this thing. She kept wiggling, wiggling, wiggling. Finally, she got up. She got up on top of it. I told her to take her belt off and tie herself to the tree limb. Well, the tree wasn't very big. It was just a little thing like that. Bent down, everything come down by, you know, hit it. She says, it's taking the tree out. So she took her belt off and put it up around the tree. She stood there a long time. After a while, I looked down, and I seen her fall off backwards. I guess her belt broke. She lost hope, fell off backwards. But anyway, before that, she asked me if I seen any John, Uncle John and Aunt Pearl. I said, no, Catherine, I never seen him. And then I did ask her this, too, before she fell. I says, what time is it? She says, it's 8:30. And shortly after that's when she fell off. And it wasn't but a little bit after that till it took the rest of the trailer, smashed it on the pieces, moved it on down the hill. But I couldn't reach her. She was about 10 feet from me. I couldn't reach her. So I stayed there in the tree. And it was cold, it rained, I had still had the flashlight, and this old building that lodged in there, and I looked down, and I thought I could see a piece of black insulation. So I reached down and got it, and lucky enough, it was about that long. So I took it and wrapped it around my shoulders. But I thought I could see cars, you know, coming down the road and coming so far and turning. I had the flashlight, and I kept shining around. And across the creek, no, I guess it was far as near that barn from me, and seen these guys out over with a flashlight, spotlight, big spotlight. I guess they were coming down looking how deep the water was. But anyway, they happened to spot me, see my light there. And they walked down along the creek to about where they thought I was at. They could see my light, and they shined their light straight across, and they could see my light. So I didn't see no more of them. They left. Next morning, to break of daylight, here they come back down, four of them. Them same people, they walked back down, they looked over, they pointed over at me, that I was in the tree. They didn't know who it was. So about 15, 20 minutes later, four girls come down along there, and they took my picture across there. But during that time, them boys, they'd walked from their home clear back up here to Seneca and told some people that they thought John McMillan was in the tree. So the girls, they took pictures of me, and they motioned for me to get out of there, so I wouldn't do it. So I stayed there a little while, and the water, it went down, and then directly it shot right back up. It raised. I was afraid to try it. So I stood there, almost stood there another hour. It was about 9:30, I guess. I said, well, I'm either going out, or I'm either going to dry land, or I'm going to drown. So I found me an old stick there, and I punched it in. But the water was really roaring down. It was almost up to my waist on both sides of me. And I didn't know, you know, how deep a hole was. I seen the worst holes out. I didn't know if it was a big hole there or below the tree or not. Anyway, I got across, got out there in the water, stuck my stick in, and I waded it out. Waded up dry land. So I walked from there, clear back up here to Cooper's Rocks. And I seen Burl Vance over there in his truck. He'd come that far. And I hauled over and told him I needed help. And some of his buddies was going down the backside, down against the mountain going down. They hollered for me to go back. So I turned around. I went back down to where the trail had washed away. And I looked over, and there was Miner Vance standing on the porch barefooted. I didn't know he was in that house all night. But anyway, he said they was coming in to get him with a boat. So they come in, got him with a boat, and I walked down the road. But I seen the houses go, all the garages go that night, all of it. I seen everything go.
Longest night in your life.
Oh man, it was a nightmare. It just sounded like a big old jet roaring all the time. That water really had a lot of undercurrent. It just kept roaring right under. Oh, you drop anything, second it was gone. I don't want to see no more of them. Well, it's been pretty hard. You don't get much sleep. If you don't keep busy something, keep your mind on something, you start thinking about it. Yeah, just keep going on and on and on. Most time at nighttime.
You've had a lot of dreams about it?
Yeah, quite a bit. Fighting, bed, nighttime. Yeah. Well, if you had, it wouldn't have been really tough, you'd never stood it. It was just so cold. It was cold. I was just about froze to death. My legs was blue from hips curled down. I was blue.
You were telling me about how you were shivering and that your body was cramping.
My head cramps in my belly and my arms. The only thing I guess really saved me to stay on, I took my belt off and tied it around and let him above me and stuck my arm in. And I changed from arm to arm instead of hugging the tree like this. So it wouldn't be so much strain on you. Yeah, I used my head. But they come home and told my wife and them that they thought it was John the tree, said
They said, then no. He says, no, it's not Johnny. It's got to be Roger. He says, he's like a damn monkey anyway. And I was good. I always climb trees.
You actually grabbed on this lamp when the trailer was
going. Yeah, when the trailer was going, I seen it. If I hadn't had a flashlight, I'd never seen it. Which, after when it hit, it would have knocked me off top of it anyway. But I happened to see it. It was hanging down. When it come into it, I reached over and grabbed it and swung myself up. And just as I got up and got my arms around the tree, I hadn't got my other leg up on it yet, when that building come in and hit me. Hit my leg and the limb I was standing on just about knocked me out. But I hung on. Then that's when I got Catherine up, you know, and tried to get her over. I couldn't get her to me. She couldn't make it. Too far.
Okay. How long was it, Roger, until you were able to get back up to your wife and children?
Well, it's been about 14 and a half hours there in that tree, well, all together. And I stayed down there. After I got out, I stayed down there the rest of that day and the next night and come home the next day. I guess I got here about, what time was it, April? 10 o'clock?
Something bad
about 10 o'clock.
They didn't know until then that you had survived?
Oh, yeah, they knowed. Some people told them that I was all right.
How did you get back here, Roger?
Jake Cosmore brought me up.
Was he able to drive up here?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we drove all the way up. We had we come home that day that I got out, but some places the water was still too deep, couldn't quite make it. And some holes in the road, we didn't know how deep they were. But I could have walked home, I guess.
What did the county look to you like when the sun came up?
Disaster. Nothing. All gone. Just like hurricane come through and just wiped it all.
Did you have trouble believing what you saw?
Yeah, a little bit. It was hard to think about that. What the water had really done. You know, it didn't seem quite as, I know it was bad, and I knew being bad rolling down, yet the further it got down, the worse it got. The more damage that water done, because it got more power as it went on down the valley, she picked up more speed. And had more debris in it to knock down things, you know, wipe it out. Some people's lucky and some ain't. It just seemed to me like we just weeded them out. Weeded the good ones out from the bad ones. The old saying is, left the bad ones and took the good ones. My book. Yeah, me and John, we was close. And Catherine. Me and John hunted together. An awful thing. Since 71, wasn't it? Since 71.
Had the water ever gotten up?
Yeah, I think it'd been in around there a few times.
Been in the basement a little while, but not up around the house.
Yeah, it run down in front of them a little bit a couple times, didn't it?
Yeah.
But it never got up in the trailer.
So they never felt shaky about living there?
Well, I don't know too much about that. She can tell you more about it than I can.
John said he liked it better than any place he'd ever lived in his life. And after he retired, he really enjoyed it.
That was a beautiful spot down here, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Sitting right there on the banks of the river.
Yeah, it was a beautiful place, but never know that water, though. Just wipe things out.
Roger, do you think you're all right now?
Yeah, I'm getting straightened up pretty good now.
Because that, what you just told me would be
enough to buckle, you know, the mind of a lot.
Well, yeah, it hurt, yeah. I know, it works on your mind. You just can't let it bother you, you know. You got to try to keep busy and keep your mind off of it. If you just sit down, start thinking about it, or even start talking about it, makes it worse.
You think it's bad to talk about
it? Yeah, I think it is. I think it brings back old memories, you know. It's best to try to forget if you can.
But those things are in there, you know.
Oh, yes, I know they're in there, but I try not to talk about it as much if I can help it.
But those things are inside of you, and they have to.
Oh, yeah, you have to bring them out. Yeah, that's true, too, but I think, really, it's once you said it, you shouldn't have to say it again. Everybody should know. You've told your story. I've told this story, I bet, 25 times.
Maybe good for you.
Well, it might be, and then again, it might not be.
It's got to get out.
But they were my good friends, and I don't like to talk about it, really. But you got to tell it, you got to tell it. It's hard, but you just sit down and tell it. That's all you can do.
You're an awful good storyteller.
Well, I never did. I always was bashful. I never could talk very good.
Oh, you talk fine. You're a good teller. I'd like to hear you tell some other things.
Well, that's about all I can tell you.
I bet you got some good hunting stories. Oh,
yeah, I've got a lot of good hunting stories. No, never killed any bear. We killed quite a few squirrels. Yeah, he liked to hunt, but he couldn't walk around very good. His legs hurt him awful bad. But he loved to hunt. Loved to drink his whiskey. Me and him used to drink a lot of whiskey. Yeah, I just finished his house up down there. One room he had down there, he wanted me to panel and put drop ceiling in. We got it all done. We done it Thursday, before this happened. I just finished it up, and it was beautiful. And we just got it done, and this thing happened Monday.
So you've been spending a whole lot of time with him?
Oh, well, all around, yeah. We go down there, and make hay, and help him. Help her make his hay. And he comes up here, and we sit down and talk. He comes to my house. We visit quite a regular, didn't we, Phil? He's real nice. I like Jim and Catherine both. Aunt Pearl, I didn't know her too well. Not like I did Catherine and John. Catherine probably diapered my behind when I was a baby.
Tell me again, you were related by blood to them?
No, I ain't. Just good friends. Neighbors. We've been neighbors all of our life. He pills diapered me many times. Yeah, when I first came here, I was just a little feller. My arms was only about that big around. I was about starved to death. My mother done that.
Cut your chin.
Butcher knife. I was 3 years old. I got anything to eat, really. I didn't get to eat with the rest of the family, hardly any. I was sitting behind a chair. The chair sat in the corner like this, and I sat in the corner. I wanted anything to eat. I went out and wait till they leave, and then I'd go out and go around the house and go up to my granddaddy's house. He lived about 50 feet from us. They'd give me cookies and milk, and then I'd go back to the house. No, she was pretty rough on me. I don't know. I don't guess she liked me very good. I was a black sheep of the family.
But you found a wife to like you.
Huh?
You found a wife who likes you.
Oh, yeah. My aunt likes me, too. She's the one that raised me. I lived with him for 19 years. Yeah, my wife, well, she's pretty good when she wants to be. Sometimes she can be contrary. I guess they all get that way.
Got anything else? I would like to use this. I would like to use this material, maybe in some radio.
Go ahead.
Work or book or whatever. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's all right with me. If it's all right with any pill.
Go ahead.